welcome to episode 3 of The Tangles, official companion podcast to BeneathTheTangles.com. I am your host, JP, known affectionately, or not, online as Japes and Japesland. As you may know, if you've been following our blog and podcast, every month of The Tangles we like to feature a different staff member of Beneath The Tangles. With that said, I'm very excited to have co-hosting with me today our very own writer, R86, or Jack.
Well, thanks, JP. I'm very excited to be here, too.
Now, one of our goals here, both at BeneathTheTangles.com and, by extension, The Tangles Podcast, is to encourage the interaction of all kinds of people, particularly within, though not limited to, those within the online otaku community and blogosphere. This means that we'll be making a point of featuring different guests here on The Tangles every month in order to facilitate that goal. Last month, we featured Anna Blogger and good friend of Beneath The Tangles, Annalyn of annalynspot.blogspot.com. We had a chance to talk about introversion in the scheme of otakudom. This month, we actually have a bit of a surprise for our listeners because, though we're continuing our trend of inviting guests in the blogosphere, we actually have two guests with us today representing the folks at Reverse Thieves, the esteemed Alan and Kate.
Hi, I'm Alan, otherwise known as Hisui or Hisui RT.
And I'm Kate. Thanks for having me. I'm also known as Narutaki online, so.
Yeah, excited to have you here. So now before we talk more about our guests, I'd like to spend a moment on our co-host, Jack. So like Kaze from last month, and all the other writers of Beneath the Tangles, actually, Jack precedes me in both his time at Beneath the Tangles and in the otaku community. So would you care to share for a few minutes a bit about yourself, both online and offline, Jack?
Sure. Well, let's see. Offline, by way of a day job, I'm a chemistry professor, which is usually enough to end all conversation as soon as I mention that, but there it goes. Yeah, I teach organic and general chemistry. In terms of my other hobbies, I'm also a lifelong musician. Actually, I did a double major in chemistry and music in college, so I always like to say the instruments I play are flute first, saxophone second, clarinet fifth. That's basically how that goes. So I play in pit orchestras locally. Actually, I'm in a production of Young Frankenstein locally to here. So it's fun. Keeps me out of trouble. I guess I try to draw sometimes. I have a deviant art kind of thing, but I don't know that I'd go so far as to recommend it. But anyway, so that's basically me. Let's see. What else can I say about online? I like putting stuff up on Twitter from time to time, little snippy comments, but people know that who follow me. I guess that's about it.
And you write it Beneath the Tangles, which I already
right.
mentioned, so I don't know why I would need to mention it again, but there it is for everyone to hear.
Speaking as a professor, it never hurts to repeat things.
Well, thanks, Jack.
Yeah.
So, at this point, I'd like to extend the same question to our resident Reverse Thieves, Alan and Kate. Would you care to introduce yourselves?
My name is Alan. I've been in this game for a while. I've been watching anime since the 80s, when my brother would go down to Chinatown and get bootleg just stuff from the Elizabeth Center. And I kind of seriously got into anime. Just at the turn of the millennia when I started watching Ranma again and I really got into it. And we've been doing the vlog for like 7 years now.
Yeah. I like how you don't even know.
Like so many years. All of them.
All the years.
I work for an evil corporation in the mailroom. Yeah, I guess the other thing that most people would know me for is being like Saber fan number one and Type Moon fan.
Yeah, I've definitely been picking that up recently on ReverseThieves.com. Especially now that I know that it's you who's posting all of this.
Ah, he's going to turn the whole blog into that if I don't stop him. So I'm there. So I'm Kate, and I'm there to stop the wave of Type Moon, like, madness on the blog.
I'd also make it all Hayate, Kate.
No, that would be better. I'm a New York transplant. I'm originally from the Midwest. I am a graphic designer, and I work in book publishing. So it's me offline and online. I feel like when we started the blog is when I really became a part of the community. But I've been an anime fan for, oh my God, almost 20 years, which is weird. And it's just always been a big part of my life, but I'm a general geek. I like American comic books a lot. I'm just a weird person in general. I guess that was what I would say about myself. So I like superheroes and anime and cooking and soap operas and I don't know. I like everything, I guess. So
I'm not sure how many people I know can claim they're not a weird person.
Yes, but I feel as though I have a really weird mix of fandom all combined into one thing. So, yeah, and we've been doing the podcast for 5 years.
That sounds correct.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of second nature to us at this point. So
right, no surprises here. Well, thanks, guys. It's pretty cool to have two guests this time around. I'm wondering if that'll be able to actually happen again. So now at this point,
when you have to edit this, you'll be like, I never want to have more guests ever again. Just wait.
I somehow get half a guest on.
I was going to say, also, when you call me crazy, but I'm counting three guests.
Well, I'm counting you as a co-host.
Oh, okay.
I mean, unless you just want to not be included, that's possible.
No,
too.
No, it's fine. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Your family who's visiting.
They're our guests. Okay. Now I'm finally catching on. Okay.
Right, right. Yes, we both write for the same site, I think.
Right. I get it now.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not as dumb as I look, you know, as I'm fond of saying.
Well, at least no one can see you.
Yes.
Okay, so at this point now, seeing as The Tangles is a podcast devoted to exploring Christian spirituality, a podcast that both Jack and I are speaking on behalf of, I might remind everyone, together, as well as otaku culture, would you guys, Al and Kate, be able to share just for a few minutes some of your personal religious beliefs?
Sure. Let's see. My dad grew up very Catholic, and he had some really bad experiences in Catholic school. And my mom is very sciencey, so they basically didn't raise us with any religion, and basically said that, you know, they weren't going to force anything on us. If we wanted to believe anything, if we wanted to join any churches, they'd support us in that. But they didn't want to impose any kind of belief on us, because both of them had basically been, in one way or another, kind of burnt by that. And they figured that, you know, basically they wouldn't stop any of the kids in the family from doing that, but they wouldn't push anything on them as well. And so generally, I've kind of, through my explorations of life, generally just moved towards being agnostic, mostly because I feel atheism just is way too, almost as I find it funny that a lot of really scientific people gravitate towards atheism, because I feel it's really almost, it's a belief system in its own, as in I am definitively certain that there is no God, whereas I feel I'm not smart enough a person to rule that out, nor am I smart enough a person to conclusively in myself fully believe that any religion that I pick would be the right one. So I try to live my life well and be open to other people's belief systems. But other than that, I've never just had a calling to any faith enough. But I feel like if you're going to be a proper person, you should always be questioning and always be
right.
Taking in evidence and seeing what you believe.
Right. And I think your story, just to speak for just a moment. Your story is a pretty common one. A lot of people, as unfortunate as it is, have been very burned out by the church just because there's a lot of people who are just not nice people who do go to church and claim to be Christians. And
I was going to suggest the word jerks.
yeah, I mean, that sounds applicable to me. But yeah, I've definitely heard that similar kind of story a lot. I think some of our regular commenters might fit into that same category, though I can't really claim that for certain, of course. But thank you for sharing that. How about you, Kate?
Yeah, actually, Al, I didn't know that about your dad, but my grandmother was very Catholic. And so all my mom and all of her siblings were raised Catholic, but, my parents raised me kind of in the very neutral. So I don't think my grandmother was a big fan of that at first, but she, you know, she came around and, I've been sort of neutral ever since. I went to church actually quite frequently as a kid because I'd go with friends' families, but it never became kind of a part of my own life. And that's kind of where I am now. I think, you know, I can see its power for a lot of people who need like something that helps them stay focused, or it guides them, or it helps them in, you know, times of need. So I totally see that, but you know, for me, it's just never been a big part of my life. And I just try to sort of live positively. And that's kind of where I am. I don't know. I don't think about it that much. So.
Mm. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, again, I've definitely spoken to a number of people that same kind of belief system. What you said is definitely true. Completely disregarding whether religions are true or not, one thing that they do is they provide a moral compass. And so whether or not other people believe that religion is true, at least it gives meaning to someone's life if they believe it to be true. And that's definitely one reason I'd say people pursue different religions, regardless of their truth, I would say. Well, thank you, both of you. It's great to be able to hear from people of all different walks of life and to be able to express some of the interests we all share, which we'll be doing. And that's pretty much always been a primary goal of Beneath the Tangles. However, in the interest of time, we'll be moving on to our updates and announcements segment.
Okay, so we have one piece of news to share, or really two if you include that we've just recently gone over 1,000 posts, which is an exciting milestone. We've also heard from our gracious host, Charles, that he's going to be doing a new limited series of posts coming out every other Wednesday, in which we go in kind of the other direction from going towards the subject of anime. Instead, this will be asking our readers questions related directly to religion, and this series will be entitled Come and See.
Thanks, Jack.
Otaku Diet.
Now, while video game podcasts have a What We're Playing section and anime podcasts have a What We're Watching section, since Beneath the Tangles covers more than just one medium and the Tangles reflects that diversity, we decided to name this section Otaku Diet in order to include all types of otaku media like anime, light novels, video games, manga, visual novels, and anything else you can think of. With that said, as the saying goes, ladies first, would you like to share a bit of what's been in your otaku diet as of late, Kate?
Sure. Should I keep it to one thing, or how are you feeling here?
Follow your heart.
Okay. So if people don't know, Reverse Thieves is really, we love detective stuff there. So what I have been playing recently is the last Professor Layton game, Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy. It's the final story in the second trilogy of Layton games. So it's really like ramped up everything that's happened previous to it is sort of, you know, tenfold. You're traveling the whole world. You have a ship that goes to different regions, and it's definitely proving to be a really great finale for the franchise. Not only do we appreciate the detectives, because, you know, that's what we're into, but we also really have an affinity for those phantom thieves. So I'm watching from this season, I'm watching Magic Kaito 1412, which I don't know why the heck it's called 1412. Whatever. But Magic Kaito is a spinoff. Well, it's why is everything I'm talking about have such complicated, like, explanations? Most people know Kaito Kid from the Detective Conan series. He is a rival to Conan in there, but the manga of Magic Kaito actually came out before Detective Conan. So they're animating this older story from the creator, and there's been specials and such in the past, but now they're kind of doing the whole thing as a television series. And Detective Conan, of course, is still running. I think they're doing it because Kaito Kid wasn't really that popular in his own series originally, but then when he started appearing in Conan, everybody got Kaito Kid fever, and really he's become a popular character. So,
kind of like the Cat Returns from Whisper of the Heart, the Studio Ghibli movies.
Yeah, except in this case, you know, there was like all this mad. There was like this whole story, because when you watch Magic Kaito, you kind of see the Shinichi Ron relationship in Detective Conan. Like, Magic Kaito has the prototype of that. And I don't know, it's like it's almost like watching the same series, but then it's different because it's a phantom thief instead of a detective. That's kind of like the difference. Like, so, but I'm a huge Detective Conan fan, huge Kaito Kid fan, so.
And they just started streaming Conan on Crunchyroll, so maybe they'll eventually...
Did they actually put an episode up?
No, I meant they announced it.
Oh!
I don't know, I would have told you to say it.
I was like, my Detective Conan radar did not go off when this happened.
No, it's still in the planning.
Whew! That would have been awesome. Okay, I'm done.
They would have been like, podcast over, see you guys, Al, you're just covering.
Yeah, really, I got something to do.
Do your fake Kate voice for the rest of the podcast. No one will tell the difference. All right, I just wanted to quickly get out of the way that I've been watching Fate Stay Night. Yay! And that I've been watching G-Breco, which is Crazy Tomino. But the thing I wanted to actually talk about, just to follow Kate, I guess this will be everybody talking about video games, is I recently got Smash Brothers for the DS.
Ah, so did I, actually.
So everybody who's living here or visits here often has been playing, other than Kate.
Not me.
Has been playing DS. I mean, I did see my roommate squeal like a little girl with happiness when they announced that Mewtwo was going to be a DLC character. And we also know mutual friends who probably did the same.
Yeah, I haven't stopped hearing about it.
I've really been happy with the major twist recently. I won't go into it for spoilers, but in Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches, once again, I really feel like the author,
Miki Yoshikawa.
She
Do
really.
Do you just need me to put that on like a little like thing that you can record and you can just play it when you need? He just points at me when he does this.
I just like, I always remember Miki, and I'm like, I don't want to get her last name wrong. So, but yeah, she's really good at like changing up the formula of that manga and keeping it. You'll like it when you get to it, Kate. You'll like it. You know, I don't know that much, but yeah, I just always try to plug that series.
Well, on that note, how about you, Jack?
Yeah, well, I was only thinking in terms of anime as that which makes me an otaku, but allowed to talk about video games. At the beginning of September, something really monumental happened in my life, which is The Sims 4 came out. Yay! I've been a huge Sims fan slash addict since it first started with The Sims 1. And so it's very exciting. I feel like I'm with the, I'm almost part of the beta testing team, since goodness knows when it comes to EA games and Sims games, it comes out with a lot of crap still wrong with it. I never understood this. I mean, I haven't been into computer programming in more years than I'd care to say, and I sure don't understand what it is that they do, but I'm sure they do something that they call beta testing at EA Games, but it doesn't seem to bear any resemblance to actually playing the game for like a long time in ways that people like us who play the game actually do. So it's just fun getting all the bugs worked out, and I don't know. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the case of The Sims, of course, it's called Let's Not Fix Most of the Things Because the Modding Community Will Take Care of That for Us. So, and it's true. They do a better job than I think the original programmers sometimes. I wish I knew how to do what they did, but that's another story.
Right, right.
Oh, but I'm talking about being an otaku. Okay, so in terms of anime, I'm looking here in my folder for what I'm watching currently. There seems to be a pattern towards anime about video games, because I certainly see Sword Art Online 2 and Log Horizon 2 in there, and I don't know, I get into stuff like that. But you also have the ones that are sort of, in terms of the must-watches, I never watch very many of the must-watches. I do see Shigatsu wa Kimi no Uso, because I refuse to call it Your Lie in April, because yes, I am that guy. You know, it's everyone who knows anything about me knows I'm always complaining about, and I quote myself a bit here, that yucky kissy face stuff. And I just know it's going to go there, but man, it's got that music side, and that's going to pull me in. And you probably saw me say on Twitter how the animation is unbelievable.
I mean, yes, yes.
It really, I mean, it's like correct. I mean, like they actually watched real live violinists play that. So, wow, I have to keep giving it a try, even if it does get into that kissy face stuff, you know.
Well, that show, and maybe I'll just talk about it now. I was going to talk about it in my portion, but I'll talk about it now, because I can do that.
Yes.
They bounce back and forth. You can basically tell where you poured in the budget. And I absolutely love the art style.
Me too.
And when I watched the first episode, in the very beginning, is a piano solo.
Right.
It is breathtaking.
I know. I think they even had it right. Wasn't she playing like a little, what do you call that type of harmonica that has a piano keyboard on it?
Melodica?
That was correct. I mean, like she was pushing the right keys. I'm going, gosh. This is amazing.
I'd have to check. I noticed in episode 3, they did do what Nodame Cantabile does, or did, and there's one portion where he is playing on a piano, and it's all CG. They hit it pretty well. I don't think they did that in the other portions, but I'd have to rewatch it to check. I'm pretty sure they actually legitimately, like, hand-animated it.
Well, insofar as anything's hand-animated anymore. But
right,
yeah.
Right. Of course, with an asterisk.
I still have that in my backlog. I see some things in my desktop going, watch me, and that's one of them. The latest episode of Shigatsu wa Kimi no Uso. So I'll have that to look forward to. Ace of Diamond, of course, continues. You'll almost always get me with the baseball anime. Heck, I even see all of Haikyuu in there, and even though it's done, I can't delete it yet. It hurts. And last but not least, I'm taking one for the watching Bonjour Sweet Love Patisserie, at least so far, because I don't know anyone else who would stoop to that level. And so far, what's saving it for me is that the episodes are only 5 minutes, because if that were drawn out for half an hour, I don't know if I could take it. But
Which show is that again?
Oh, it's one of these, again, with 5,000 bazillion pretty boys. You know, it's about baking desserts, and I like desserts, so, you know. But
I think it's based on a boys love game, but I don't think it's
probably
that.
Is. Aren't they always? But, I mean, so far it almost kind of seems to have a plot. There's, like, this bratty girl who...
Oh, no, it's Otome game. Yeah.
Otome game, right. There's like this bratty girl who keeps needing to be put in her place. And there's this mysterious female teacher in the background. So I don't know. They may actually try to draw this together and make a story, in which case they will keep my interest. Otherwise, maybe not so much. And last but not least in that category, I don't know anyone else who is watching Majin Bone, but I am. And I like that kind of thing with explosions and, you know. And it isn't infected too much with that yucky kissy face stuff. Although there's still some. There's got to be some. In the form of, oh, you know, the lead male character, who, yes, is completely useless and stupid, has this, quote, childhood friend who, of course, there's nothing going on. Yeah, right. You know, so you have some of that, but I'm mostly into it for the explosions, I suppose.
As always.
Yeah.
Also, I suppose.
And I guess the other thing I'll mention is sitting on my desk, glowering at me, would be none other than the great Edward Elric, since I have the entire box set of the original version of Full Metal Alchemist. I've only ever seen Brotherhood. And one day I got to sit down and watch the other version.
Ah.
In the meantime. Yeah, in the meantime, Edward Elric will continue to glower at me.
Well, there you go. As far as I'm concerned, this season is just head and shoulders above what we've seen so far this year. If you checked out Kaze and my reviews of spring and summer seasons, you would know that, with some exceptions, we were pretty critical. We have our written review of spring season up on Beneath the Tangles, and then we had our streamed review of the summer season. And I, well, on that note, I've redone my watching policy. And what I mean by that is I, up until this season, had essentially a no-drop policy. I had watched hundreds.
Why?
I was going to say, I would die.
Why?
That is the very question I asked, and that is why I no longer have this policy. I have watched so many terrible anime that I got to the point this season that I was just like, why am I doing this? And then I realized there was no good reason. And so now I'm not.
Good.
That said, I am watching 8 anime this season, which might sound like a lot to some. However, that is down from about between 16 to 18 the last couple seasons.
Too many.
So basically, I just took my normal season of 16 to 18, cut out the 10 terrible ones, and now I'm just watching the ones I actually like. And my life is much better now.
Does sound like a refreshing change.
It is. I also have a social life. Anyways, moving on. This season, I am watching When Supernatural Battles Became Commonplace. I do not remember the Japanese name. I apologize, Jack, if that offends you.
Oh, well, it doesn't offend me, but you've got me wondering. I'll have to look it up. But go on. I didn't know that was a show.
I use Crunchyroll to stream everything, and so they have the English titles, and so I usually do not commit the Japanese titles to memory.
Well, you can be certain that within a few minutes I'll find it one way or another.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. This show is done by Trigger, which is funny because I loved Little Witch Academia. I hated Kill la Kill. And now I'm kind of somewhere in between with this one. I like it enough to keep watching it, obviously. But I definitely don't love it as much as Little Witch Academia. But I also don't hate it like I did Kill la Kill, so there's that. I'm also watching Parasite, which I almost dropped a couple times just because it's not my cup of tea. But again, I've been enjoying it. The plot development is genuinely interesting, so we'll see. I'll give it a couple more episodes before I decide if I'm in it for the long haul. I am watching Shirobako, which is by PA Works, which I have talked about before. I love PA Works. I don't necessarily love the anime they do. I usually just end up liking them. Or if it's another, I just hate it. But I really love just their art style, and their actual animation itself is very fluid and just wonderful. I'm also watching Your Lie in April. I apologize again. I do not remember the Japanese name. I know it's Shigatsu something 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 Uso.
Shigatsu wa Kimi no Uso.
Right.
Yeah, that one.
Yes, that one. Oh, we already talked about that one. Fantastic. Probably my number 3 right now. The only reason it's number 3 is I'm also watching Fate Stay Night, which I used to not like, but I recently read, which you would have heard in the last episode, Fate Stay Night Reel to Nua. And after reading the source material, while I still am of the opinion that it is pretentious as heck and abuses Deus Ex Machina, I still really like it. And so I've been very excited for the anime, especially because Ufotable is doing a much better job than the last studio did in the last version. And Unlimited Blade Works is much better than Fate. I'm also watching Mushishi, which is kind of tied for first, I suppose, with Fate Stay Night this season. Mushishi, as a series, has been one of my absolute favorites. One of the very few I've been able to actually convince my dad, who really doesn't care about anime at all, to watch with me. I'm also watching Sora no Method. Reminds me a lot of PA Works stuff. It's really not stellar thus far. Again, kind of like PA Works. It's just good. I've been liking it. I'm also watching Wolf Girl and Black Prince, which is as shoujo can get. I almost dropped that one as well, but I realized I'm not watching a shoujo this season, and I like watching shoujo because I'm the opposite of Jack.
But that's okay. So is Kaze.
That's true. Kaze and I do share quite a bit more, I suppose.
Your lie in April is, isn't it, Jose? So that's like...
Or is it a shonen? What is it running?
I don't remember.
Oh, I think a show like that'll appear to a wide... I think it's kind of hard to classify.
But we're talking about the source material.
Oh, well, maybe.
I could not tell you.
Shonen, you're right.
Shonen manga.
The Japanese title of the other one is Ino Batoru wa Nichijō ka no Naka de.
Sure.
In other words, it's much too long.
Yeah, that seems to be a trend the last couple of years. I'm not quite sure why that is.
That and you have to have the word Imoto in there somewhere.
yes, that is true as well.
Anyway.
Anyway, if I was going to tell you to watch a shoujo instead, you should watch Yona instead of Black Prince, but that's just because I hate that show. I hate that manga.
Well, is it on Crunchyroll?
It is.
I suppose I'll have to check it out at some point. If I can find another good shoujo, I would gladly drop Wolf Girl, because, as I said, it is really not that great, but I have to watch shoujo somewhere.
I also want the record to show. Oh. I was just going to say, I want the record to show that I do sometimes watch shoujo anime. I very much enjoyed Kaicho wa Maid-sama. Fruits Basket ought still to count. That was life-changing. Or does it not count because there's too many boys?
Why does it not count?
I don't think that's like
10 star shoujo.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm pretty sure if anything is shoujo, Fruits Basket is.
Yeah. It's, okay. Well, then. So I do sometimes. Every now and then I like a show like that.
Right.
Right.
Right. Well, as far as I don't usually watch very many non-currently airing anime anymore, just because I don't have as much free time as I used to. I did just watch through Bartender.
I remember that.
Which I loved, actually. I watched it because Charles had linked me to... there was another blog. I will do my best to remember to link it in the podcast description on the site. There's another blog that basically posted their top five most influential anime to them. And two of the five they put, I think were like really popular ones that I had never seen, really long ones. Two of the five I loved, and now I can't remember what they were, but I remember being like, wow, this person has good taste. And then the third one was Bartender, or the fifth one, depending on what order you're going in. And so I ended up watching it. It's only 11 episodes. Basically, if you've ever seen or heard of the anime Human Crossing or Aria, it's like a mixture of the two. It's basically Human Crossing if it had been produced better, but with the same good concept, and then Aria, but aimed at adults, and there aren't lots of cute, giant-eyed anime girls everywhere.
I will just mention one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is the Bartender anime is very strange or very stylized adaptation of the manga.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
the main character is much more a character in the manga, and he has his own storylines and stuff like that. Whereas in the anime, he's kind of almost a magical drink fairy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have not read the manga, but based on what a friend of mine had told me about it, that seems pretty accurate. However, I really, really love the super stylized format that anime like that take, where the purpose of it is not necessarily what's literally happening in front of your face, but the themes that they're building based on a lot of symbolism and then just interesting cuts and things. So that's what I really liked about it. Also, they gave you the recipe and they showed you basically how to make a different mixed drink at the end of every episode.
Yep.
That was, I thought that was interesting. Last little bit, I am always reading some visual novel. I am finally finishing up Clannad. It has been a long time of reading it because it is a monster. I think it is about 1.2 million words or so. Just for reference, the Bible is about 800,000. Granted, that's all the routes combined. So I'm probably, to get through everything, which I am trying to do, it probably is closer to 800,000 or maybe a million. Still about the length of the Bible. A little bit sobering considering I have definitely not read the Bible in as short amount of time as I have been reading Clannad. But it is great. If you would like to read it, I would say only read it if you are a very dedicated visual novel fan, because the anime is pretty much just as good and it's way easier to consume. However, that's pretty much about it as far as otaku diet goes on my end. Now, before we move on to the meat and potatoes of the podcast, I'd like to spend a moment on something that Reverse Thieves has done in the blogosphere that our humble editor, Charles, has consistently participated in and praised, and that I've finally gotten around to joining just this year. And that event is Reverse Thieves' Secret Santa Project. Would you guys like to explain to our listeners what exactly it is and what makes it so cool?
What makes it so cool? Well, is that we're running it, obviously. So the Anime Secret Santa Project, this is the sixth year that we've run it. And we kind of started the project because we love recommending anime to people. And everybody loves doing that, to get somebody to watch something that you think that they'll really like. So it kind of grew out of that. So the way that it works is you sign up and you tell us your name and your blog, and you have a list, you know, My Anime List or Anime Planet, where so somebody knows, you know, everything that you've already seen. And then we send it to a secret person that you don't know about, and they recommend three anime for that person. And then you get that, and it's like your little Christmas present. And you pick one of the three, or all three. We've had people do all three reviews. You watch it, review it, and you're supposed to release it, your review, like around Christmas time. You know, so it's like we've given you the present is the recommendations. So it's, you know, it's really popular. I mean, really popular. Like, we get like about consistently about 50 participants every year. And, you know, some people have done it every year. Some people come in and out. We always have new people. So, it's been a really successful project. We wanted to do something that kind of connected the community a little bit more.
And I feel like every once in a while, it lets somebody who would not normally be in your wheelhouse of friends let you recommend something that you might not normally have looked at, but somebody else might be going, I think you'd like this.
And I also like the fact that, you know, sometimes you recommend anime to people, but that doesn't mean they necessarily go out and watch it or take it to heart. Whereas this, you're kind of forced in a good way. Yeah. You know, it's all about positivity. It's all about trying to find something people like. We've made the rules very clear on that you're not trying to, you know, like, troll these, you know, it's supposed to be a positive experience. And, you know, it doesn't always work out that way, of course, but you're trying to find something that they'll like. So, but kind of having the power to say, finally, I can have this person like watch this really good show that they've never watched. I think that's a really nice kind of bonus.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Jack, you've participated too, right?
Yes, I have it. I forget if I've done it once or twice before. All I was going to say was I somehow missed it last year and was exceedingly bummed.
So
But you know, it's my own fault, but I'm very glad that I'm doing it this year. So
well, good. I'm so glad that like so many people from Tangles are doing it this year.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to see. I sent in my recommendations a while ago, but without spoiling what I sent, in case by some weird chance that person I sent it to is actually listening right now, I won't say what I sent. But I sent three of my favorites that I feel get very often overlooked, and so I'm really excited to see which one they pick. Because the person I got, actually, their repertoire was much smaller than I'm used to seeing with anti-bloggers. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what they pick and what they think of it. I think it'd be really cool. Also, by the time this episode goes live, I'll actually most likely have received my three anime recommendations.
Right, I'm a little scared about what mine might say, because, I mean, I think I have this reputation of going after... I mean, I have sort of a higher, what's the word I'm looking for, tolerance for pretty boys than a lot of male anime watchers usually do. Well, his was all shows like, you know, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and just manly man after manly man. So I'm like, okay, I guess I won't recommend, you know, Skip Beat. That probably won't work. Anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's had some problems. I mean, we've definitely run into a little blog drama involved in it. Also, we have a lot of problems where people either have not updated their list properly and are like, I've already seen that show. And I'm like, too bad it wasn't on your list.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
So, Jack, are you going to be posting your review on Beneath the Tangles, or are you going to be posting on your own blog? Okay.
I don't have my own blog.
Oh, okay. Well... Whoops.
Closest thing to my own blog is what I do on Twitter and the aforementioned DeviantArt page.
So you're going to be posting your reviews to your Twitter?
That would be a challenge. I'm sure I'll make snippy comments on Twitter as I go, but no, the full review will go on the blog.
At this point, even though it's too late to enter this year's Secret Santa, be sure to check out how it's going at ReverseThieves.com, and you can see Charles, Jack, and my entries at BeneathTheTangles.com around Christmas time, whenever we finally get through whatever anime series were recommended. And now that brings us to the next section of today's episode, where we focus a discussion on a recent article on either BeneathTheTangles.com or our guest's website or blog. This month's theme is something that the three coolest members of this month's podcast, that excludes me, obviously, are much more familiar with than I am, and that is sports anime.
Woo!
Yay! Banzai!
If you haven't read our relatively recent article, Top 5 Plus Guest, Our Favorite Sports Anime, I recommend you take a look. If you've tuned in last month, our guest Annalyn actually participated in the writing of this post as well. But, of course, since I also participated in the writing, I would assume your primary reasoning for reading it would be to see what I had to say. But since we like to save the best for last, I think it's only appropriate that Jack begin by sharing a bit about his favorite sports anime.
Okay, well, I think it's no surprise to anyone that Okifuda Kabute, or Ofuri, or Big Windup, is in my number one spot. I have, I think, three different posts on the blog about that show. And it just was one of those right show at the right time type of things for me. But while it's true that it did change my life to watch that show, it's also a long time ago at this point. And while I've ever since then been hoping and praying for a third season to come out, I don't think it's going to happen. Itself, although you never know, it's just been too long. But it's funny. I've always enjoyed baseball anime more than I have enjoyed. I mean, I wouldn't turn on the TV and watch a baseball game in the same way. But that's another topic in and of itself. But goodness, why do we love sports anime so much? I think there's something about it as for people like me who never did sports growing up, that we can actually get a glimpse into what it's like being on a high school team, you know, because that's a totally foreign thing to me. And Ofori really, really hit it spot on in terms of the and emotion that's behind behind playing high school baseball. I just would never have guessed in a million years that it was like that. You know, to see the losing team in the dugout just sobbing and hugging each other. It got to the point that I was asking students of mine who I knew were athletes if it's really like that. And, oh, yes, that really is a thing. And believe me, no one will question your masculinity at times like that. But I would never know. I did band coming all the way through. We didn't go back to the band room and start sobbing and hugging each other, I guess. But Ofori's there, and that's no surprise to anyone. Haikyuu, the volleyball anime, certainly rocketed up quickly. And that's a much more recent show that I really put in the same category now. But to be fair, I think it's because there's at least two or three characters in Haikyuu that look like they stepped straight out of Ofori. I mean, they just like reused the same design. The lead character in Haikyuu is absolutely a dead ringer for Mihashi on Ofori, but of course acts absolutely nothing like him, almost the exact opposite personality. So it's interesting. Let's see. Other ones that have been very meaningful to me include Major, mostly because it's so long. Can't believe I watched all six seasons or something like that, but where else will you find a show that follows that main character from infancy until pretty much age 30 or his early 30s? And it kept my interest all the way through. So it's hard for me to recommend it because in doing so, I have to be honest and say, prepare for about 150 episodes. But it really was a phenomenon, I thought. But I don't know that I need to rehearse what I wrote for the blog, but I don't know. What else should I say here?
Well, I mean, I think you already know what I'm going to say, so.
Yeah, I looked down to yours. Isn't he the one that put free? Yes. And that's actually going to shock you. Free was a show I found unwatchable. Can't do it. I can't handle it. Too much.
if it makes you feel any better, the first time I watched it, I dropped it. And that was when I had my no drop policy.
Yeah, I mean, and I know it's got that Yowamashi Pedal, same thing. I watched that for a while and then dropped it. Free, I think I made it into the second episode before I said, this is not for me. So different strokes, I guess. What can I say?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that I loved it as much as it's just the only sports anime I've ever finished.
Oh.
I looked through my list and I actually had to, I use Hummingbird now for my anime list. I used to use myanimelist.net, but I've had too many technical difficulties with it that I just moved over. I had to actually use a tool that someone made. It was like a JavaScript or something that extracted a Hummingbird account into an XML and then re-uploaded it to my anime list so that then I could put it into Malgraph, which then told me what sports anime I had seen, and the only one I had seen was Free and Redline, apparently, which I hardly count as a sports anime, although I love that movie. I mean, it's racing.
I was gonna say it's a driving show, isn't it?
Well, it's a movie. It doesn't really fit any of the tropes that you think of or paradigms in a sports anime. You don't have any sort of sense of camaraderie or anything. It's just a movie. Like, it's a good movie. It's a crazy movie, and you drive, which I guess you could call a sport, but I would not call it a sports anime.
Well, apparently, I just want to break in there that, like, there are sports that are you know, that are one-on-one, so
that's true.
Say, you know, because I mean, I have like one of the ones that when it's my turn, I'll be bringing up as one of the first ones that really got me into sports anime. So I'd stop you there about like that it's supposed to be, there's some sort of team aspect to it.
Because otherwise, Prince of Tennis is, what do you call it, not a sports anime. And then there are many heartbroken Fujiyoshi who cry, no, it is.
That's fair, but there's still, I mean, there's still some sort of sense, even if you don't have, like, an actual team, there's usually, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what is just when have any of you seen Redline, I should ask.
Yes. No, I love Redline. And I actually might have. There's, let me look. There's, I mean, there's JP and then there's
might I add that that is also my name.
Sonishi.
What I was going to say, I didn't want to call her, you know, Cherry.
Cherry Boy Hunter.
Yeah, Cherry Boy Hunter. But like but that's, I mean, that's her nickname. But like, there's a relationship there. Plus there's JP's, like mechanic and sort of, he had, there's a whole history about why he's racing, why she's racing. I mean, that is, even though Redline is crazy and I absolutely love it. So I would defend it in any case, but I feel like there's definitely a case there for being a sports anime. I feel like there's a real emotional reason why, especially she is a racer. And I think that's a big part of like sports series.
Well, yeah, I guess I really can't. I feel like there is some reason out there that I can give for why it is not a sports anime. But I cannot think of it.
I wouldn't like think of it as like it wouldn't be on my list, but I totally could see the reasoning.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of where I sit on it. Someone on the blog commented about Girls and Panzer, or Girls and Panzer, if you want to pronounce it that way, about that being a sports anime. And I immediately was just like, it's not a sports anime. And then I was like, well,
this is about the sport of tankery, my friend.
Tankery, is that a word?
That's the sport that they play in Girls and Panzer.
Senshado, the way of the tank, translated to tankery.
Senshado, yes.
I learned that. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard to really define where that line is, as much as it just, like, it didn't really, neither of those really felt like a sports anime, and that is why I didn't put it. I have seen a couple episodes of Yowata, which is the judo anime, and Dondo, which is the golf anime, but I have not finished either of them.
I'm sorry to say also there is somewhere a men's gymnastics anime, and it's pretty lousy.
Well, the first two episodes of Dondo were not stellar, but it's been a long time, so I can't really speak to that a lot. I do want to say that Ofuri Big Windup, as the English title is, that one, I'm amazed I haven't seen it yet, because that was almost like when I was first like transitioning into otakudom, if you want to put it that way. I was also following Beneath the Tangles before I was a writer, and that was on Charles's list of like recommended anime for Christians. And I almost bought it because it's on Funimation's save line, so it's really, really cheap. I almost bought it on many, many occasions, and I never did, and I still need to get around to it. Haikyuu, yes. Though, I honestly didn't really know anything about it, but in preparation for the podcast, I watched a couple trailers for it, and I actually really want to watch it now.
I could almost wish you watched Oferty first so you can see how many characters they recycled.
Well, I mean, like I said, most of my anime watching has been current running, so neither of them are like super high priorities. And because Big Windup is so, or Oferty is so cheap, I could probably pick that up at some point.
To my knowledge, though, you cannot buy the second season.
Only
buy the first. I don't think the second season was ever licensed in the U.S.
It did like legendarily bad for Funimation. Like it was actually one of their worst sellers of all time.
Really? Well, that makes sense then. I suppose that's unfortunate.
You certainly can buy the first season, though, like you said, quite cheaply. Oh, and another thing, even though I'm speaking as that guy, do not repeat, not watch it in English. It is embarrassing.
Well, you have no fears of me watching any anime in English. So. Well, that's about all I really have to say about sports anime. I think I drug that on long enough, having only seen one.
Okay, so I mean, I kind of already went on a little spiel there about the heart of sports anime. But it was funny that you brought up you know, Redline and being racing, because I think the first sports anime that I watched and like got so caught up in was
Wangarian Midnight.
Was Initial D. And I actually recently just finished the final stage of the anime of that. And they're doing new movies now, which I'm incredibly excited about. But, you know, Initial D is street racing. And, like, that is about as far as you get from what I like in the real world. And it was kind of this realization for me when I was watching it and like completely caught up and like crying my eyes out when like the 8.6 engine explodes. Oh my God, I can't even think about it. Don't talk about it. So like it's such an emotional journey, and it so surprised me that I could care that much about, you know, about street racing. And I mean, I still don't know. And people are like talking about cars and it's like, I don't care at all. I don't care about cars. And Takumi, the main character though, is that kind of guy. Like he's not super into his car. He isn't kind of doing any techno babble about any of it. So I think that is why it was able to appeal to me, because it wasn't really about that. And that's when I realized that that's not what sports anime are about anyway. You know, they're about characters, and that's the type of story that I always want to see, is a character's journey. And that's what all of these titles are. And I think that, and it's kind of a solitary journey in there. I mean, there's support that he has, but that's what I love about sports titles, is not the sports at all. In fact, you know, of the current, you know, the more recent stuff, my favorite, absolutely, without a doubt, is Kuroko's Basketball. And basketball is one of my least favorite sports to watch.
You should mention what sports you actually do watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only sport I do follow in real life is tennis. And I've actually never seen, except for Aim for the Ace, I've never actually watched a tennis anime that I particularly liked. So it's like the opposite of the real world when I'm watching sports anime, I think. And I watch a little bit of soccer, but yeah, but I think so. I feel like it is, doesn't matter if you care about the sport or not. It's absolutely about the characters.
I think I probably started the weirdest from everybody, because the first sports thing I ever experienced in anime and manga was One Pound Gospel.
Oh, yeah, that too.
But I mostly read it because it was Rumiko Takahashi, and she is my favorite mangaka of all time. So, like, I didn't think about it much as watching sports. I mean, it is technically a boxing series, and probably the most apropos sports series we can talk about on this podcast, since, you know, it's about also about a nun, but
but it's also one of those Japanese titles where Japan doesn't really know how churches and Christianity work, so like,
she is as much as Rumiko Takahashi knows about being a nun.
Yeah,
a nun.
Exactly. She's not the boxer, though. Let's just in case those people haven't seen it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, insert reference to Chrono Crusade or Black Lagoon for Japanese nuns.
I feel like One Pound Gospel has a better understanding than those two series, but anyone who is seriously, you know, Catholic will probably be like, I think you got some things wrong there. I don't think that nun's supposed to be taking confession. But the first anime that I watched to be a sports anime was Battle Athletes Victory, which is quite the unusual one, and I watched it more for the sci-fi aspect. But if anybody ever remembers Akari's House, they will remember. Oh, and Katie, she really likes the OAV.
Yeah, because that's the better thing, obviously, Al.
I really like Battle Athletes Victory. I like Akari's House.
I hated that house. Burn it.
And the first anime that I watched as a sports anime and what really actually got me into sports anime was probably Princess Nine.
I was going to say that. That was on my list, too. Yeah. Go ahead.
And it's just, it's basically Japanese a league of their own. And, you know, with the whole, like, we're going to play, you know, as a girls' baseball team, and we're going to take on the guys. And it's just a great series. Really
have
hard.
Have you seen A League of Their Own?
Well, actually,
because they don't play dudes. They play other girls' teams.
Yeah, they play during the war. That's true. But still, I think that it's a great.
No, it's good. It's really good. I just was like that reference.
And so,
but there's no Tom Hanks.
Well, no, but what do you call it? Their idol manager is almost as good. but yeah, that was the series that really sold me forever on sports series. I mean, I'd always not rejected them because of One Pound Gospel and Battle Athletes, but that was the one that really kind of cemented me into just watching them. And now I've kind of given all of them a chance. I haven't liked all of them, but, you know, what genre can you state that you've liked everything? But I've yeah. always, you know, it has given me an appreciation that a lot of American fandom does not have for sports series.
So, actually, you guys were, you know, mentioning Haikyuu, and I have really loved it as well. I really got into it. It's definitely one of my favorites recently, right behind Kroko's Basketball, because nothing beats Kroko. But we recently wrote an article kind of talking about, first of all, that we're getting a lot more sports anime recently, and that sports anime seems to be kind of having this resurgence where it's super popular. It's like the most popular thing, and getting all of these seasons, all of this manga, and getting a lot of attention. And we realized, or we postulated, or whatever you want to say, about the new main characters that we're seeing. So the three titles that we talked about were Kuroko's Basketball, Haikyuu, and Yowamushi Petal. And that the characters that are kind of leading all of those titles are a little bit different than kind of the cool aces of the past or some of the hot-blooded shonen characters that are the main, like, part of the team. And there's a lot more of this side characters, like Kuroko or Onoda from Yowamushi would be side characters normally in a series, but in this case they're the main characters.
Yeah, I mean, I always have, whenever I talk about like shonen fighting manga, there's, or just shonen manga in general, there's usually, when you get to action series, not counting shonen romance, there tends to be two kinds of general heroes. You've got the shonen hero, who's usually a young guy who has like infinite potential but no real knowledge of what he's doing, and he has to be taught all the way. I mean, your standard Bleach or Naruto. And then you have your seinen hero, who's, once again, in shonen manga, who's more towards the seinen. They're a lot more experienced. They have years under their belt. They're not fully at their apex, but they've at least mastered their craft to a degree. You get that more in Fist of the North Star, or you know, even One Piece is kind of a little more like that. And in sports series, you kind of have that same dichotomy. You'll have something like Slam Dunk, where the character can dunk really well, but he's never played basketball, so everything has to be explained to him. Whereas you get more of your seinen hero with somebody like the guy from Prince of Tennis, who's just magnificent, and he might learn a few techniques along the way, but he starts off, you know, pretty much being an established name and having all these skills.
But yeah, like even Haikyuu, since that's the one you guys seem to, you know, really like, Hinata in there, he's like, he's the short guy on the team. He has a lot of spunk, which I think makes him kind of the more shonen-y character that we're used to seeing. But his role on the team as a distraction, you know, he's not the ace. We know that. They have an ace on the team. He's not the king, who is the setter, who sets everybody else up and is integral, kind of like the pitcher in a game. So he's more to the side. And I feel like there's like so much more of this team, like that everybody has to come together as a team, and that every cog in the, you know, cog in the machine is important.
And once again, Kuroko is a great example of that, because I feel like, yeah, in previous years, Kagami would be the star of Kuroko's basketball.
And in a way, he, you know, they're shared the spotlight, but it's called Kuroko's basketball.
Or I feel like if you wanted the seinen hero, who's your favorite character from Kuroko's?
Oh, Tepe. Tepe, yeah.
Or like center. Tepe coming back would be like the beginning of Tepe's story if you wanted more of a seinen-y hero in the...
And then Yowamushi Petal, oh my god, like... I never thought I would see a character like that being the star of a sports anime, because he is an otaku and he doesn't lose that. It's not as if he wants to change, or, you know, he's got to like shed his past. He really embraces it. So yeah, it is. There's a lot of like cheerleading from the sidelines of all of these characters, but they're not the main character. And, you know, I think it seems to be kind of ushering in. Of course, we've seen it a little bit. I mean, you guys brought up Big Windup, which has, you know, a character whose personality doesn't really fit the shonen stereotype, but his role is pitcher. And like, that's like every baseball series is about the pitcher. So, you know, and it's kind of, I find that actually, like, I like all sports anime. I like baseball anime too, but I'm always kind of like, man, is this going to be the baseball anime where it's like not about the pitcher? Like, could it be? No.
Well, I would almost argue that the second season of Ofuri is just as much about Abe the catcher, if not more so.
That's an interesting aspect. I mean, I think like, I'd love to see a baseball anime about like a hitter, a really good hitter, or like a really great shortstop.
The first baseman.
The thing is that I remember that every time Adachi, who you know for Touch and Cross Game, has tried to do a series that's not about the pitcher, it hasn't flown well. Because I know he's done one about like the fourth batter, like, you know, kind of the most important batter. And that only lasted a few books, and it's Frag and Adachi. So it's not like, you know, some no-name guy who's like, yeah, I guess I got this pitch. And they're like, sorry. I mean, he is the baseball guy. So if I feel like a lot of people might be hesitant because of like Adachi can't pull it off, which insta I have.
But maybe that's going to be changing. You know, that's kind of our, like, you know, what we talk about in the articles. Like, oh, is it changing? I mean, Free is like super standard shonen, like sports. It's really standard, taken to like an extreme.
But it's very pretty looking.
Oh, I mean, I love Free. I enjoyed it quite a lot. But it
does not break the mold
exactly.
In any way.
Except being, you know, incredibly well animated. Like, but I feel like it takes sports to an extreme, which is something very interesting about it. You know, I think that's worth talking about. But yeah, I just wonder if like our main characters are starting to change to be, you know, less of the number one guy who's going to, you know, like, light the world on fire.
Not that I think that that archetype is ever going to disappear. I mean, it's a solid archetype, but yeah, if the general taste has broadened enough that, yeah, like, if Adachi went back and did a baseball manga that focused on the batter, would audiences be so quick to reject it?
Again, if you'd like to read what our Beneath the Tangle staff and Annalyn listed as our favorite sports anime, be sure to check out Top 5 Plus Guest, our favorite sports anime, on beneaththetangles.com. And also be sure to check out some more of the Reverse Thieves work at reversethieves.com, particularly their article, The New Faces of Shonen Sports Anime. But as always, before we close for the month, it's time for Listener Mail. Listener Mail. So, question one for this month comes from Candy Lover at candylover.tumblr.com. That's candylover.tumblr.com. Candy Lover's question is, what's your point of view about Halloween and all the sorcery and magic that a lot of anime series display? A lot of Christians condemn anime for this, well, most TV series too. Well, I think there are a couple approaches you can take to that. If you've read many of my articles, you're probably already aware that I'm somewhat on the liberal end of things, I suppose, when things like this come up. So I'm generally much more forgiving, especially with sorcery, because it's all just, it's fantasy. Most of the time, it's not meant to pretend as if it actually is real. It's like, it's outright fiction. And so in that case, it's just whatever you make of it. Good fiction is good fiction. Even you look at like C.S. Lewis's work, and with the Chronicles of Narnia, a lot of Christian parallels, and he has a witch. it's what you want to take from it. On the more conservative end, though, there was an article, and I will link it in the description on our page, on ChristianityToday.com, sorry, called Sharing the Gospel with Witches, Real Ones. And I won't go over it. It's been a long time since I've actually read through the whole article, but I immediately thought of it when you sent in this question. And it's about a church in Salem, Massachusetts, which is the location of the infamous Salem witch hunts years and years ago. And basically the article just talks about how this church uses Halloween as a way to minister to people, as opposed to condemning people for it. And I have to stress that, like, this is a place where people who actually claim to be real witches actually come and meet together. Like, people who claim to actually practice magic. Not people who pretend or cosplay or anything. So, I think it's kind of an avenue, if you want to put it that way, for reaching out to people. Just like a lot of holidays that we talk about today and we celebrate, like even Christmas, there are a lot of quote-unquote pagan roots to them, but they have a lot of redeemable qualities too, so I wouldn't want to discount them completely just based on one area of it. I hope that answers it well enough for you. So that'll bring us to question two. This question is from Rico-chan-san. That seems redundant. Rico-chan-san from ricochansan.tumblr.com. Her question, or his question, I'm sorry, I don't actually know which, is what anime cheers you up on a bad day? Well, I'll go ahead and go first. That one's easy. My first three are Now and Then, Here and There, Serial Experiments Lane, and Technolize. And I am totally kidding, and that might have gone over everyone's heads, depending on who's seen this.
Oh my god, I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
And, Future Diary, and all these real, these real lighthearted ones.
No, yeah. If you are feeling very down in the dumps and you want something to pick you up, do not watch, do not even touch any of those, please. That is a terrible idea. On a serious note, though, the first two I immediately think of are Nichijo, because it's just absolutely zany and hilarious, and Bunny Drop or Usagi Drop, because it's just really heartwarming. And unlike Jack, I do get a kick out of cute girls doing cute things.
No objection to cute girls doing cute things, but I have no objection to cute boys doing cute things. I just sort of usually like it to tie into some sort of plot, but that's another thing.
Well, that's all I had for it, so it's all yours, Jack.
Well, it's an interesting question. I probably should have thought about it more, but I'll shoot from the hip as usual. I don't know that I have any one or even set of shows that in particular that cheers me up on a bad day. I guess I would think more like you do, JP. I mean, I have the shows that I'm following, and if I'm sort of depressed, well, I'm probably not going to watch Shingeki no Kyojin that day, or even though that's over. But that would not be something I would pick. Or I would pick, probably right now, I would not pick Naruto Shippuden because everything's exploding and, you know, giant evil trees are growing and Sasuke's actually making sense and stuff like that is going on. So, you know, that wouldn't be a good choice. But there's, I don't know, I guess I always try to keep something on that's likely to cheer me up. Probably this year it would be Shigatsu wa Kimi no Uso. I would more tend towards that. Heck, I'd even more tend toward Majin Bone, which for all its stuff blowing up is pretty unserious and doesn't claim to be serious, you know. So I guess that's where I don't know if I would watch Ace of Diamond in a bad. Actually, I've put off Ace of Diamond again because I need to kind of be in the right frame of mind for that one. I don't know that. It's not a depressing show by any means, but I don't know if I'd want to watch it when I'm feeling down, if that makes sense. Anyway, I don't know if that answers the question, but that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Sure. Sure, it answers the question. How about you, Kate?
Oh, I was going to let Al go.
How about you, Al?
Kate, can you guess my answer?
Hayate.
How do you know, Kate? It's like you can read my mind.
It's like we've known each other for years.
Yeah, but I definitely would say that I always love reading Hayate when I'm depressed. I think that generally comedies where people are kind of stupid and a little bit mean-spirited, but generally good at heart. So I also really like Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches, although that's a manga. That's still a series that always perks me up. And yeah, Hayate, definitely. And I had another one when I was looking at the outline, and I can't remember what it was, but it was basically in that same line.
I think for me, if I'm having a bad day, I think I tend to try to find something really, I'd probably read manga, but if I was going anime, something really like bubblegum, very super cute, like magical girls, maybe Saint Tail, just something like really adorable, really young, with some sort of incredibly cute and easy, simple romance. That's usually going to go for. Although I can easily go for really ridiculous comedies like Cromartie High School or Daily Lives of High School Boys. Always has me rolling on the floor. Like can't resist. So.
All right. Well, in that case, that about wraps up this episode of The Tangles. Thank you so much for co-hosting in this month's episode, Jack, and thanks for your guest appearances, Reverse Thieves. If you'd like to hear more of my terrible opinions, or more likely want to hear more of Jack's or the Reverse Thieves' pretty awesome opinions, be sure to look up articles at beneaththetangles.com written by Japesland or R86, and check out reversethieves.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll tune in next month for The Tangles.
Good night!
Bye!
Bye, everyone!
Thanks for listening to this month's episode of The Tangles, official companion podcast to BeneathTheTangles.com. Be sure to check out our full site for more articles and analyses on the intersection of otaku culture and faith. If you would like to submit a question, send an email to thetangles@outlook.com. Also, be sure to follow our Twitter, @AnimeTangles, and like our Facebook page, Beneath The Tangles, and rate and review The Tangles on iTunes. Featured opening and closing songs are Japanese Dream by Duke Ellington's Orchestra and Blue Piano Stomp by Johnny Dodds, available in the public domain. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll tune in next time for The Tangles.
Hello, my name is Alan, and I like ice cream, pie, and cake.
Okay, and Jack, can you say something else again? I'm just checking levels.
I'm thinking about the ice cream pie and the cake as well.
Well, this can go in the blooper reel.
Yeah. I'm actually not huge on ice cream, but I wouldn't refuse it if it were there.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well,
no. Everybody, no, really? You don't like ice cream?
I didn't say I didn't like it. It's just if I had my choice between those three, I'd probably choose cake.
Okay, I'm down with that. All right, I'd go with cake also.
I mean, it depends on, you know, what the pie is. This is totally going in the blooper reels, by the way.
yeah, it is. By the way, yes, your conversation did confirm that the levels are adequate.
Oh, good.
Oh, right, there was a reason we were having
yes. Right, sound check.
And it's been concluded. Oh, thank you for that. I am going to have to...
Unless there's more.
Sorry, I'm going to have to edit this part out. I just had some technical difficulties. The lights in the room are motion sensitive, and they all just shut off.
Should I say it again, or are we all right?
Well, I mean, the lights didn't really affect anything.
Well,
go ahead and just start over the announcements again, and then I'll just pick which one's better.
Okay, well, it's just like when my students ask me to say something again, and I'm like, no, I wasn't listening to myself either. Anyway.
So you're saying it's like Star Wars.
Except these all came out in the correct order. they came out in the order that...
No, they came out in the order that the Star Trek ones did. Star Wars, Star Trek.
No,
you just inflamed some impassioned fans.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, okay, Star Trek. You're going to get in so much trouble.
I can never tell the two apart.
Now he's in way more trouble than us.
Oh, gosh, I always forget. And I've seen it.
For some reason, all I can think is, that James T. Kirk, he's my favorite Jedi.
Ah, yeah. Okay, it's not quite that bad.
Top five plus guest are favorite spots, sports. I'm going to just start this paragraph over because I have been stumbling over my words. All right, backtrack to when I used to know English. And now that brings us to the next episode of today's episode, where we focus... Did I?
Yes, you did.
more ammunition for the blooper reel.
That's okay. I wanted to go back and see which five I actually put. So
yeah, I'm going to have to move over to the article, like the actual article, to look whenever I finish saying this stupid paragraph correctly.
Is it our turn?
I guess so.
Yep.
You missed our finger point.
Yeah, we're like, who's going to go first?
Right stuff. ADV.
Because you're right. Okay. I remember it came out in ADV, and then somebody else licensed rescued it. But I didn't remember.
Did anyone license hear my pun?
No.
Yeah, well, I see what you did there, yeah.
I added stuff to the word right. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to just go ahead and end the section there.
It is your destiny, Kate, to be surrounded by people who make puns.
Because my father was from Brooklyn, you know, my father talked like this. I didn't pick up his accent, but anyway.